Now, turning to substance, the first subject is our technical activities report. And Henry, I'll ask you to lead us through that.
Thank you very much, Alan. So this is paper 1B. This is the report on the board's technical activities. The report has been structured in the way that we've used for the last couple of meetings. Intention is very much to highlight due process procedures and decisions since your last meeting, and as far as I can, tabulate that information so you can readily see that the necessary due steps have been followed in the criteria, particularly with due process documents issued in the period. And they're highlighted on pages 3 and 4 of the report. But obviously still trying to provide you with the necessary background information so that you can discharge your role oversight of the board. The paper also includes, as Appendix A, a table showing the changes to the board's work plan since we last reported to you, with an explanation of the changes. And actually, in that regard, when I was just looking at this again on the way over, I have to highlight a couple of typos, on page 13, which is against two of the projects that were completed in the period. So that was the post-implementation review of IFRS 13 and the share-based payment. Both those documents were actually published in 2018, not 2019. Apologies about that. There is no specific ask of you on this paper today. We're not requesting any specific confirmation about due process, very much background on current activities. So because of that, I'm not going to walk through everything in the paper. I'll take it largely as read, but I'll just highlight a couple of matters. So first of all, on page 3, in paragraph 7, this is under other due process documents published. This is just to highlight that the board did issue its report and feedback statement on the post-implementation review of IFRS 13 on fair value measurement that we considered in detail at the last meeting. But the main point for discussion that I wanted to highlight was pages 5 to 7 of the paper. And really, this was designed to provide you with an update on the intensive work that's currently going on the new insurance contract standard, IFRS 17. Now, we briefed you about this in the October meeting, and we explained that the board had had an initial consideration of the concerns and implementation challenges that had been brought to its attention through the TRG and other mechanisms during the implementation of IFRS 17, including concerns about the effective date of 2021. And we explained in October that the board would soon be starting a process of evaluating whether any changes should be made to the standard. And so I think you can see from this report that that process has been proceeding as planned, and the board discussed insurance in November, December, January, and will actually do so again at next week's board meeting. And you might recall that there were, I think, 25 topics highlighted for initial consideration by the board in October, and by the end of next week's meeting, all but one topic will have been evaluated in detail by the board, and that will be considered in March together with some follow-up from some of the earlier discussions. Highlighted in the report that the board obviously is aware of the risks of changing a new standard before its effective date, and so that's why it's evaluating any possible amendments against the two criteria that you can see in paragraph 13. And these are very much designed to ensure that any amendment doesn't significantly sort of diminish the usefulness of the information from IFRS 17, and also, and importantly, doesn't unduly delay implementation of the effective date of IFRS 17, given the fact, of course, that it's much needed. Now, paragraph 14 had just summarized the proposed amendments that had been decided at, as at the end of December. These include a one-year deferral of the effective date from 2021 to 2022. The board also last week at its January board meeting decided on some further amendments relating to acquisition costs, reinsurance, and the recognition of the contractual service margin. Now, clearly, all of these tentatively decided amendments that the board has decided on to date, including the effective date, will need to be exposed for comment. And on pages 6 and 7, we've just flagged some of the initial thinking about the likely comment period that will be required for this exposure draft. Now, the staff doesn't have any definitive position at the moment, because ultimately the comment period is going to depend on an assessment of the overall package of the amendments in the standard, which is clearly obviously still work in process. But just to flag that we expect at this stage that we will be asking the committee's approval for a comment period less than the usual 120 days, just given the importance of providing certainty to the marketplace as soon as practically possible, given due process considerations. So those are my comments on insurance. Obviously, another key project we've got on at the moment, which is an important one in terms of timeliness as well, is the IBOR reform, but I won't say anything on that. We've got a separate paper coming up next, so I'll defer comments on that till later. And perhaps the only other thing that I might specifically highlight to you was just in paragraph 39 onwards on the management commentary consultative group. And this was just to report back to you following our report last time about the composition of the consultative group. And just to note, we've actually got a slightly smaller group than we initially envisaged due to two members resigning from the group. But we're not planning to replace those members at this stage. And our assessment is that the group is providing very valuable input and had a successful meeting. Its last meeting was in January, and I understand that was a successful meeting. So at this stage, we're not making any or planning to make any changes to the composition of the consultative group. So, Alan, I think those would be any particular issues I wanted to flag.
Okay. Questions from the committee? Teresa?
Thank you. I know that the IFRS 17 has triggered a lot of comments, and I think just not being an expert and don't claim to know any of the technical kind of intricacies, but looking at the proposed amendment, the first one, everybody can understand a postponement of a year, but the second one, when you talk about a change of the word portfolio rather than group of insurance contracts, I kind of worry that how much, or I put it another way, there is, I'm sure there is a lot in the two words, and I just want to make sure that the due process that has to be applied to go through the amendment has got to be really, really vigorous, because I don't want to, for us to be seen to have caved in if the meaning to these two words are very different. So I can't interpret more, because I don't really understand enough about what is the difference between a portfolio of contracts, insurance contract, as opposed to a group of insurance contract. I understood that the initial proposal was to cut off from a fixed term, so that in fact a lot of larger insurance companies are having to do a lot of work in order, and then sort of like financial impact and all of that. So I don't really understand whether by suggesting a portfolio, then it lessens their burden and it's less transparent. And I just want to make that point.
Yeah. And maybe just two quick points on that. Firstly, in terms of clarity in the actual document following from IFRS 17 today, those two words have got very specific meanings, unsurprisingly, so people commenting will understand that. You're right, though, at sort of 30,000 feet, that the reason why we're looking at this is because portfolio is a higher level, so it's more less burdensome to take this approach rather than what's currently in there, which is on a group basis. So it's primarily designed to provide quite a lot of operational relief for preparers But on the flip side, based on the outreach that we've done to date, we have had confirmation from investors that they don't see this as a significant loss of information, particularly because of the various reasons it doesn't affect what profit looks like. But a really important part of what we'll do as part of the due process, and we've already flagged this, I think, in the public board meeting, is make sure we take the time to spend more time with investors to confirm that that is in fact true before we finalise this amendment, to make sure we've understood properly this cost-benefit trade-off.
Right. I mean, I think for purposes of our committee, you've asked the right question, which is the due process that's been applied to that change appropriate? And I think the answer is there has been, if you look at the reports of the meeting, it's pretty extensive discussion of the change, and we will see when the exposure draft of the amendments comes out the way in which comment is requested. And the I dare say, without addressing substance, that the nature of that question will be to, at least in part, to draw out whether one of our requirements that it produces no less useful information for investors will in fact be an important part of the ask. And that will be part of the fulfillment of the due process requirement. Other questions? Sheila?
I just have a question about the date of finalization of the amendments. In paragraph 20, it sort of indicates the end of 2019, but it seems to also indicate it could flip over into 2020. I would just really encourage the board to get it done by the end of this year, given, first of all, if we're shortening the consultation period, I mean, I think there's an onus then on the board to respond quickly. But also, implementation of this standard is more complex than many other standards. And even though the normal time is 12 to 18 months, I think, you know, a longer period would be beneficial. So I would just like a comment, is 2019 the kind of normal due date,
yep,
or is there an expectation?
Yep. I think that's extremely well taken. I also think that the board is exquisitely sensitive to the issue that they really have to move as quickly as is responsibly practicable. And in fact, the principle from the point of view of the committee today, indeed, the principle or one of the two principal points of this discussion or this presentation is to put us on notice that we're going to have a shorter comment period than the 120 days, and the purpose of that shorter comment period will be to do everything that the board can do to get out in 2019, because I think people completely understand the point you're making.
Just to flag, get confirmation from the board, though. Just to flag that the paper says that if the date was the 1st of January 2021, then we would need to finalise by the second half of 2019. Because we're moving to 2022, our objective is to finalise, it says on page 7 in paragraph 20, the board could finalise the amendments by the second half of 2020. Because I don't think it's possible to finish it before the end of 2019. In terms of, because of the comment period and the amount of time we then need to digest the comments, re-deliberate and reissue a new document.
Well, but Sue, I don't think that's fair to users. If you're giving them a shorter comment period, and the implementation of this standard is very complex, and you say, you know, normally you give them 12 to 18 months for standard. My comments, I think you should really try to get it done by the end of this year and not slip into middle of 2020. I mean,
we're certainly working as hard as we can to get it done as fast as we can. I can certainly vouch for that. So that is the objective, to get it done as fast as we can. But they're complex issues, so we have to be careful.
All the changes that we are making are meeting demands very strong requests from the industry. Most of them will make their life easier. I think they will have clarity about what the changes are going to be before it's all officially finalized. So I think they can get on with their work. We are not touching the core of the standard. They are important details, but they are details of the standard. I think that with the additional year that we have given them, they should be able to do it within that period.
I mean, Sheila, at the end of I hear you. At the end of the day, I think there is outside pressure on the board, and it's from the same universe to make sure to give enough time for people to evaluate the amendments before we finalize them, and make sure they have enough time to implement the changes once they're adopted, assuming they're adopted. And I think all we can ask the board to do is to move as expeditiously as they can on the first point, and leave what they think is a reasonable time on the second point. The only thing I'm sure of is that there will be unhappy people no matter what the board does on either of those questions. Larry?
You know, I think in listening to all of this, and Sue said it before, it's really important that the due process part of all this is not something that can be challenged. But if we are shortening significantly the comment period on the users, do we not open ourselves up to that kind of due process challenge, especially given the points that Sheila is making?
I think the ultimate answer to that and whether we are going to go along with it depends on the exact nature of the amendments and the demonstration that the board can make to us at the time that the shorter comment period gives enough time to comment given the nature of the amendments. But I think the reason that it's fair to have it on the table is that the from everything I think the board has said, the amendments are relatively narrow in scope given the whole proposal is enormous in breadth, but the amendments are relatively narrow in scope. And do people fairly need 120 days to comment on? We're not asking them to comment on all of 17 all over again, although it wouldn't put past some people will try to do that. But to comment on the amendments. And so I think it's a reasonable position going in for us to say we'll entertain the shorter comment period. We don't have to make a decision today as to whether what it should be or whether we'll accept it.
You know, it may actually be a point, what you just described, for purposes of the due process handbook, in a case where you're talking about narrow amendments, you know, the normal 120 days, maybe that should not be in, maybe that, you know, for narrow amendments, that period. I don't want to get into that whole conversation, but it's something to think about as we look forward.
Yeah,
to
these are not the quote unquote narrow scope amendments that the due process handbook talks about when it talks about comments of that sort. I'm making a point in the same direction but different, which is if a standard or amendments to a standard are sufficiently narrow, 120 days isn't the only number we should be willing to think about.
Sheila's request and Larry's request are going in different directions. Because if we are going for 120 days, then finishing it in 1 year, as we would like, that becomes impossible. So if we want to get close to 20 years,
I was not suggesting 120 days. What I was suggesting is that we not open ourselves up for criticism is really the point. If the quote, the normal process of our handbook says 120 days, if we look at it, shorten it, all I'm saying, let's not, we need to be careful we don't open ourselves up for criticism
that is a
at the same time.
Completely fair comment. Agreed. Sue?
Larry, I think you asked the right question, and I think it's something we have to, a decision that the Due Process Oversight Committee has to take with great care, particularly because of the environment. But because we know it needs to be taken with such care, that's why we haven't been bold enough to ask you in this meeting for approval today, because we think the exact list of what we decide to amend and how it's going to look is critical to be the basis for that decision.
I mean,
and so that's why we need to bring it to you, and we're proposing that it comes to you for approval once we can tell you exactly what it is that's being proposed for change. I think one important thing to remember too, though, is I completely agree with Sheila that we need to get this done as quickly as possible to take certainty out of the market and to enable people to get on with their processes. But we've got a lot of people as well who are telling us it's costing them money having this uncertainty that we're creating by even talking about making changes to the standard. So a lot of people would like us actually to get this clarity sooner rather than later so they can have a certain environment and move forward. And so while I agree with you, we need to make sure people really do have enough time to read the proposals, digest them, consider the consequences, give us informed feedback so that we've met our obligations and they've got their rights, if you like. We also need to think about what the cost implications are on the other side. I think there's a couple of competing factors going on.
This conversation, I think, has amply demonstrated, one, that because of Sheila's concern about this has to be done in a way that is gives preparers enough time to know what's happening and then enough time to do what they need to do, there's been a very robust discussion before the board has decided to do anything, in part because of those concerns. Secondly, the fact that the board has and the staff has come to us, A, not asking us to make a decision today, but also B, telling us today that they think they're going to bring us a shorter comment period in the future, is, I think, indicative of the seriousness with which they are taking Larry's concern. And so I think that's where we are. Michelle?
Going back to Sheila's comment, from a due process standpoint, the time for implementation is also a consideration, I imagine. I mean, in some of the material we had to review here, there was a, I can't remember, I think it was around the agenda decision, there was a specific reference to let users, you know, have the time to implement, basically. So here, is that, how do we think about, is there a sort of an incomprehensible period of time that we need to accept for allowing that to happen, basically, or is that the variable of adjustment? You know, we want to get done as quickly as possible overall, and we know it takes so much time to do it, and then what is left is what is left to the users, which seems to be where we sort of are at the moment, basically. But there is a point where we would say, you know, no, we cannot go, you know, below that. At the moment, it's 12 months, effectively, based on what you have. So is 12 months enough? Is it too much? How do we gauge that?
Sue? Yeah.
Well, I think what we're trying to do is to take the uncertainty out of the system. Our overall process needs to be as quick as we can make it. So I think our objective is just to get it done as fast as we can, subject to the fact that we have to make sure that we've satisfied our due process obligations. And so within the, you know, the ultimate, you know, the smallest time we can make available, in a sense, we need to make sure we've allowed enough time that we can look in the mirror and say we've met our due process obligations, which say normally 120 days, unless there are circumstances which mean that it's appropriate to go for less, which means we need to look at how much is being changed, how complex it is, how difficult is it to understand. Those sorts of considerations are what the committee needs to look at.
Different. I was referring to the period of implementation. I understand, you know, we're trying to get it. But is there a minimum amount of time we viewed as, you know, necessary for to allow the implementation? It's
12 to 18 months is what we are aiming for. And Sheila's right that that's not, in the bigger picture, that's not a long period of time given the complexity of the standard. But what we're trying to balance against is the fact that we've actually published the standard nearly 2 years ago now, 18 months ago. People are already working on it. What we're hoping to do with the changes that we're focusing on is to keep them targeted, to keep them focused on areas of the standard that doesn't disrupt implementation overall. So the hope is that they can continue to implement, that they can make adjustments to some aspects later on, that we, as Hans said, are actually making some things easier to do, which hopefully could actually cut the timeline they might actually have needed to do, to use, and that really you shouldn't look so much at the 12 to 18 months in isolation, but within the context of the overall package. That's what we're trying to juggle and achieve. And the reason why we really, really want to do that, rather than, you know, the other thing we could do is move past even 2022 in theory, but we don't want to lose the momentum we've already got in the market where people have already focused on, we need to implement this, it's an important standard, we need to move forward, they've already spent money. Some people are worried that if we delay too much, it will actually increase their costs, and we're trying to balance all of those considerations to get the best mix for everybody that's involved in this process. And it's hard.
And the message you just gave is understood by the preparers today that, you know, they should not drop the pen and they should really
And I get the sense they're not dropping the pen, which is great. But we need to, the board also needs to be disciplined that we don't start opening things we shouldn't be opening that really will upset that whole message and the process and the reality of that. So there's discipline sort of on both sides as well. We all have to be very grown up, I think, in this process to get it to work.
Sheila?
Could I just ask if it's at our next meeting you'll have an idea then of the amendment and the scope and complexity of them, and we'll have a discussion about the consultation period. Could we also then have the timeline going forward and when you would expect to have the finalization done? I mean, the board should be able to know then how much time it will take to put all of this into actual status.
If you're saying when they come to us, when we have the proposal?
In June.
At
our meeting in June, when we...
Absolutely.
Then we will know that
absolutely.
The standards should be expected to be, all the amendments will be finalized by...
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things I was going to say, because I would like to move this conversation along, is... At this point, we are talking about so many different moving parts. I'm not sure we're having a productive conversation. I think we are on notice that there may well be a shorter comment period. We are on notice that there's a high bar for making amendments because it affects implementation. We are on notice that the board's initial reaction is that they've made some decisions about some potential amendments. They still have work to do on others, and I think we'll be all ears in June, and I think from this conversation it should be clear to the board that there should be as full and as cogent an explanation of past, present, and future when they come back to us. So,
and let's hope that we have a new standard before the next
one. And it may be, if they're ready, let me say one last thing. If they're ready to go before June, part of getting this done as fast as possible is maybe we consider this before June. So there's a good chance that this committee will be asked to convene off its normal schedule in order to consider, no decision yet, but that's a possibility that is a good possibility if the board gets done as quickly as it thinks it can, some of the things it needs to do. So. The